interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Standing by.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Happy Thursday to you. And it is a wet Thursday, May the 9th edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports live from the Taproom River Ranch on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love. Riding the storm out. You should, too. Come out and join me if you get a chance at the Taproom River Ranch. The famous Clint D from inside the 237 Roof Studios presented by Lafayette Roofing. We'll start a little differently today. Chances are decent. I know a little more than you do right now on topics that you probably care about. Let's start with high school baseball, the latest from McMurray Park in Sulphur, the LHSAA Baseball State Championships, and then an announcement about Lafayette Parish and the school system and closures tomorrow. We'll get to the information first. You got any questions? You know our number, but I'll remind you. 706-0111. Here's the news from Sulphur, and it's a direct release from within the last 30 minutes. The LHSA baseball tournament has been postponed until further notice. This includes all games that were scheduled today. I'll share those games with you in a moment. The National Weather Service has stated that there is a high probability of more severe weather tonight with an 80% chance of heavy rain and lightning. They also have stated the forecast for tomorrow is a 90% chance of heavy rain up to 4 inches with lightning, which has prompted sandbag stations around the city of Sulphur. The LHSAA will release a statement on the future of the baseball tournament before 7 p.m. tonight. Now, there was one game I know that was in progress. I believe that was Tioga versus Benton. They were in the third inning, and they had to stop it multiple times and eventually just froze it right where it was. But by my count, that leaves 7 ball games that are yet to begin from Sulphur that were scheduled for today. Again, 7 games scheduled for today that they're not even going to attempt to start. And, yes, some of them involve local teams. I'll just go chronologically. I know Brobridge and Lakeshore, a 4A state semifinal, won't be played today anymore. Scheduled for 4 p.m. right about now, U-High Parkview Division II semi. Obviously, if St. Thomas More were to advance, they'd get the winner of that game. And so no U-High Parkview. At 4:30 on a different field, Catholic of Baton Rouge was set to take on Rummel, a Division I semi. At 5 p.m., a 5A semi, West Monroe versus Barb. At 7 p.m., and this is the one that many locally were looking forward to, and I'll explain what's going on with the broadcast as well. But STM versus St. Charles, a Division II semi, was slated for 7 p.m. Our sister station, Mustang 107.1, was set to carry the broadcast. Danny Jones, Coach Steven Stroney, they're going to have that ball game on Mustang whenever it can be played, but that will not be tonight. So no baseball again in Sulphur. The final two games that were on the slate, 7:30 p.m., St. Paul's versus Brother Martin, a Division I semi, and at 8 p.m., the other 5A semi, Parkway versus Sam Houston. So no more baseball from Sulphur tonight. Now, I mentioned the school system. For many of you driving around right now, well, hopefully this won't be, whatever the opposite of music to your ears is, but at about 3:40 p.m., within the last 30 minutes, Lafayette Parish announced that all public schools will be closed tomorrow due to the anticipation of severe weather. So it's a newsy beginning to B2BS today. That's what I know on the weather front so far. But I've got more to share with you. I'll start with a couple of tidbits from the NFL, and we'll end our first segment with some news on Cajuns basketball, a little bit for Billy Napier and Cajuns football as well. A lot going on today on a Thursday. To the NFL, first off, the New England Patriots are signing tight end Ben Watson to a one-year deal. Multiple stints with the New Orleans Saints, was with the club last year, announced his retirement, and in some way, shape, or form, you could say, a la Jason Witten, he ain't ready to be done yet. The 38-year-old reportedly inking a one-year deal with the Pats. Pretty easy to see that this is the cost-effective way for Bill Belichick, the hoodie, to solve his Gronk deficit. But, of course, on the Saints' side, they have upgraded. I don't know about locker room presence. I don't know about team leader. But they needed someone to take receiving pressure off of Michael Thomas. So the Saints obviously going to get Jared Cook. And then also Alize Mack from Notre Dame in the draft would help to fill the void created by Ben Watson. But maybe more interesting, you didn't think you'd wake up this morning and have Seattle Seahawks news, but you do. And it's intriguing because it signals almost a complete overhaul. About an hour ago, the Seahawks organization announced that they are having their hands forced, at least that's the way they put it, to release wide receiver Doug Baldwin, safety Cam Chancellor, due to failed physicals. And a couple of additional reports not given by the organization indicate this is probably the end of Doug Baldwin's career. I'm not seeing the same said about Cam Chancellor, just yet. But I mentioned the idea that, I mean, Seattle is just completely hitting the reset button. Consider that other than Russell Wilson, who was on some of these world-beater teams? They won a Super Bowl housing Peyton Manning before he had the noodle arm and the Denver Broncos, and then losing to Malcolm Butler and the Pats on the goal line. Seriously, hand it off to beast mode. But consider those teams, what they did, and everybody that basically Thanos has snapped out of existence. Max Unger, gone. Not even with the team he was traded to. Beast mode, gone. Went to another team and now retired. Richard Sherman, Earl Thomas, basically the whole Legion of Boom. Even Jimmy Graham, who they traded Unger for, has gone on to greener pastures. And now the two I mentioned today, Doug Baldwin, Cam Chancellor. So Pete Carroll, Russell Wilson, about the only familiar faces right now in Seattle. So interesting news from the NFL. The leading tackler for the Jacksonville Jaguars also will sit out 2019, but I've got the full scoop there, and I'm saving it for a little shade, and I'll throw it in the 5 o'clock hour. I'll address Telvin Smith at that point. But let's end the busy first segment. A newsy opening run on the Cajuns front. I told you yesterday, Justin Miller announced he is transferring out of Bob Marlin's program. Today, I believe we've got a little more context and potentially a reason. The news needs to be credited, so I'll do that. Jeff Goodman, Stadium, reporting the Cajuns have signed. I'm going to absolutely butcher this name, and if you read it, good luck to you if you want to say it. You can do it for me. Dudu Gee, and I'm being serious, D-O-U-D-O-U is the first name, and the surname is G-U-E-Y-E. Okay, so that guy, he's a 6'9 forward from Daytona State College. And yes, this informs the impending hire of Brock Morris to fill the vacancy on Bob Marlin's bench. Kevin Johnson, closer to a month ago, took a job with the new staff at Tulane. And so it looks like Brock Morris will come aboard, and it might just be tip of the iceberg stuff when it comes to Daytona State College players coming on down to Lafayette. But Gee, or however you want to say it, is the first to come in, and he should be eligible coming from a JUCO right away for the 2019-2020 season. We'll end on a Cajuns football note, and it's scheduling. Cajuns football has scheduled a home-and-home with Eastern Michigan in 2022, September 10th to be exact. The Eagles are coming to Cajun Field 2025. UL is heading to Eastern Michigan September 20th of that season. A lot going on today and a lot of guests that are coming your way. Hunt Palmer at 4:30 going to help us preview LSU versus Arkansas. Game 1 of 3 in Fayetteville starts at 6:30. The pregame show, our cue to leave, is at 6. Hunt's going to discuss that when we return. From 5 until 5:30, Jeff Horchek, get him while you can. He's in his last few weeks of employment with KLFY TV 10 before he heads north to Monroe. He'll spend some time with us today. Again, that's 5 to 5:30. Jeff Horchek live at the Taproom River Ranch. I'll take a breath. You can get one, too. We'll be right back with your sink or swim question of the day. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we are Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
Let's go, baby!
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Get in on the conversation.
Call on the game hotline.
706-0111.
706-0111.
Hey, sometimes you just can't win, but you take the L and you get back up. I'll explain. I think I took a few in the opening segment. Bumper to Bumper Sports, right back to the Taproom River Ranch, and glad to have you on 103.7 The Game. Two texts in the break. First off, a concerned listener and a Cajuns hoops fan with a pronunciation guide for me. And I got to be honest, when I tried to give you the name of the newest Cajun signee, and look, this is reported by Jeff Goodman of Stadium. UL hasn't officially given the thumbs up yet from compliance, but I was somewhere between the cross of a guy who has the meat sweats and the night sweats looking at that name. And I do a lot of, you know, orating. I do a lot of in-game broadcasting. So sometimes you just take a name and run with it. But I am being told that the best pronunciation for the new Cajun Ford would be Dow Dow Guy. I'm going to take that and just take my word for gold here. My mind wasn't in the toilet when I gave you doo-doo. It's just, first glance. But Dow Dow Guy is the newest Cajuns basketball signee. Again, that according to Stadium TV. Another area where, look, I'm just reporting the news. You don't have to shoot the messenger, but a texter that shall not be named said, Ben, I was going to listen to the rest of the show, but then you informed me I have to babysit my son tomorrow. Well, okay, turnabout is fair play. He caught the news that already Lafayette Parish has announced public schools will be closed tomorrow. So hopefully that's not ruining your Friday or your Thursday afternoon. But we got a few things we think will make it better. Starting off with, well, your sink or swim question of the day. CD, hit us with the music.
Exciting and new.
Golden State defending NBA champs won an important game five. And while they won the battle, there's a question whether or not they'll lose the war. Kevin Durant has suffered a mild calf strain. And according to Adrian Wojnarowski of the mothership, KD will be reevaluated next week. That means he is done for the final game or what could be two games of the Western Conference semifinals between the Warriors and Rockets. So let's get right down to the nitty-gritty. With Kevin Durant out for the series, your sink or swim question of the day, will the Rockets win two straight? Hit us quickly. Hit us now. 706-0111. Clint, lead us off.
I'm going swim here, Ben, and I feel like it definitely is almost an open and shut case here because I feel like Kevin Durant is such a crucial player for this team. I feel like you wind up seeing Kevin Durant being out be a lot bigger deal than some people might think it is. So I'm going to lean towards the Golden State Warriors losing these next two ball games largely because of Kevin Durant being out for the series. Thank goodness it's not an Achilles like originally some people might have thought it was.
You are burying multiple time world champs that have multiple all-stars on their team other than Kevin Durant. I respect your opinion. I'll respectfully disagree. I can't respect saying it's an open and shut case, right? Because it's the freaking Golden State Warriors. I mean, that's like saying, maybe not Tom Brady, but that's like saying that, I don't know, somebody absolutely instrumental, Gronk, for example, these past couple of seasons, or somebody that is just a bona fide badass that we all know from the New England Patriots goes down, and you say, no, I don't think they can win anymore. Well, of course they can. They're the best team in the game. And by the way, they were still that before Kevin Durant came aboard a couple of seasons ago. They still won a world title and lost one to the LeBron-led Cleveland Cavs. By the way, they were up 3-1 in that series. So they went to two straight without Kevin Durant. To say that they are up a creek completely without a paddle, it's a little too much for me. So I'm gonna sink here. I'm going to say that the Warriors find a way to win one of these next two games. I'm sure they'll put all the eggs they can into the game six basket in Houston. But even if they fall short, they've got game seven on their own home floor by the Bay. I just don't think the Warriors are about to go out like that. I don't think that they lose two straight. Under no circumstance am I rooting for the Warriors to make it out of this Western Conference semifinals. Now, they're not playing a very likable team, as I've told you, in the Houston Rockets. But a lot of people just want new blood, however they can get it. You can count me in that group. I'd be quite all right with seeing the Rockets get there. A couple of former Hornets, right? CP3, Eric Gordon, making good elsewhere. I'm sure that gives you all the warm and tinglies inside. But I'm okay with the Rockets winning. In fact, it's what I'm rooting for. I just don't think it's going to happen. All right, you got Clint and I on an island right now. Weigh in while you can. 706-0111. Don't forget, you got Hunt Palmer coming aboard about 6 or 7 minutes right now, maybe a touch more, to talk LSU-Arkansas baseball. How much does the midweek loss to La Tech 2 nights ago really matter in the grand scheme of things? And is this team in a position to do anything but fall flat? What's going right for the Tigers? We may start with that when Hunt joins us on the other side of our next break. We'll have Jeff Horchak 5 until 5:30. The other news I can share with you on the local front here at the Tap Room in the surrounding area, Rhythms on the River has been canceled tonight. I know that prior in this spring session, they have moved one of these inside. They're not going to do that this time around to the City Club. So no Rhythms on the River, but the good news, they'll have live music. No cover charge here at the Tap Room River Ranch, 8 to 11. Eric Gautreau will be in the building. And so last night, as we continue our conversation on the NBA, you had two games. One was decisive. The other made things decidedly indecisive, right? The Bucks beat the hapless, suddenly, Boston Celtics. Brad Stevens Celtics won 5 straight games. To open these 2019 NBA playoffs, and they absolutely fell on their face, losing 4 in a row to the Greek Freak in Milwaukee. So the Bucks are the first team to make it through to the Final Four. They're in the Eastern Conference semifinals. Toronto, with a win tonight over Philly, can meet them there. And that would give you a matchup of 1 versus 2 in the East. On the Western Conference side, we're talking Rockets-Warriors, and even though Houston lost last night, suddenly, the best player going for the Warriors, the best offensive player in the world right now, Kevin Durant, is out. And so Clint and I disagree a little bit, fundamentally. The question is, will the Rockets win 2 straight? Clint says yes. I say no. Again, we got time. Where do you weigh in? 706-0111. The only other series I haven't referenced at this point is Denver-Portland, and that's going down as a pretty darn good one as well. I know that the other Western Conference semi is drawing most everybody's attention, but don't forget about the late one tonight, your nightcap. Denver at Portland. Nuggets lead the series 3-2. If they're going to close it out tonight, they have to do it on the road. So I'll tell you, it's very interesting to kind of survey these playoffs, and are we going to get chalk all the way through? We'll find out. But the West right now is starting to show that, well, it's got some depth to it, right? Portland, a team swept out by the Pels last year. They win tonight at home. They'll force a game seven. The Rockets, last year's runaway freight train team in the regular season. Doesn't really matter where they're seated. They've got some of their bigger pieces on the chessboard healthy right now. And so with Chris Paul, James Harden, everybody healthy, but Kevin Durant's not. They definitely have renewed life despite a loss last night. And so, again, you're just joining us. Durant has a mild calf strain. I'm seeing the statistic right now. The Warriors are plus 79 with Durant on the floor in these playoffs. They're minus 14 without him. That's a good bottom ticker stat for the mothership right there. So, again, I understand where CD's coming from. And I'll let you give it to me one more time. I'll even give you a chance to retract it. Are you sure it's an open and shut case, Clint?
I think it is. I think it is. I think you have Kevin Durant be such an integral part of that offense. I think it hurts a lot when you consider the fact that you've seen a lot of up and down games from a lot of the other players throughout this series.
All right. I respect it. And I'll tell you, it's just become a news-heavy first half of the show. There's a lot that you need to know. We gave you the updates. There is no more baseball for the rest of today. One game in progress, seven more that haven't started yet. The LHSAA baseball state semifinal games that were slated to play today at McMurray Park in Sulphur ain't going to happen. Tomorrow ain't looking good either. 90% chance of heavy rain. That means at least 4 inches. The LHSAA is expected to give an update before 7 o'clock tonight. But there's one other update I can't share now. It's a game that's on the SEC Network currently, showing at the Taproom River Ranch. You want to come watch it with us. Florida is on top of LSU softball. 3-0 right now. Gators over the Tigers. This is the second round of the SEC softball tournament. All right, enough of the news. We're going to get some really, really good opinions and insight. When we return, Hunt Palmer all over LSU baseball for us. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, hanging out at the Taproom River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
When it comes to purple and gold baseball, Hunt Palmer is dialed in. Now, back to the Taproom, where Hunt schools Ben on Maneri's Men on 103.7 The Game.
Back out to the Taproom River Ranch, ready to talk some LSU baseball with the best guy doing it. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. Quickly, over to Baton Rouge, aboard the Artco Equipment Hotline, Hunt Palmer. You should listen to his podcasting, Outside the Box. He and Charlie Hanegriff as part of 104.5ESPN.com's offerings. Hunt, is it as wet over there as it is on this side of the basin?
Yeah, it's pretty brutal over here, and it doesn't look like it's going to stop anytime soon.
Well, the good news, at least knock on wood, best I could tell, is they're going to play in Arkansas and have no delay in Pittville. As far as Mikhail Hilliard, maybe some of the confidence that he inspired last week, what do you expect out of him tonight?
He's going to give it a shot. This is a brutal Arkansas lineup that he's facing. They have got some absolutely ridiculous power in there. I mean, Heston Kerstad's up around 13 home runs. Casey Martin's got double-digit home runs. Dominic Fletcher's a great left-handed hitter as well, who's got 9 home runs. They can hit. They're as good as anybody in the country at mashing the baseball. So it's going to be really important for Mikhail Hilliard, one, to make sure he spins that breaking ball hard and doesn't leave it up in the zone, because it's going to get murdered if he does. And two, not to walk anybody, because walks can turn into crooked numbers pretty quick up in Fayetteville. So a tall order for Mikhail Hilliard, but you know, he's faced some tall orders in his 2 years in Baton Rouge and has had some success. So I don't expect 7 innings of shutout ball from him, but if he can get you through 5 innings with 1 or 2 runs, I think you would take that if you're pulmonary.
I'm very curious, Hunt, about the utilization of Zach Hess. They needed him, and they extended him last Friday in the only win of the series against Ole Miss. If you're Alan Dunn, how do you treat it tonight as opposed to making sure he's available maybe for 2 games out of this 3-game set?
It's a delicate balance. I mean, obviously what they did last week is not going to get him into 2 games, and they expressed interest yesterday in getting him into 2 games. Well, you know, if Hilliard is only, through 3 2/3 or 4 1/3, and you've got to go, and you've got a 2-run lead, you want to go to Hess, and you're only going to be able to throw him, 30 pitches to bring him back 2 days later? And do you feel comfortable with the guys after that? So it's a chess match, for sure, and I'm not certain how they're going to use him, but I do know that Pulmonary is going to play these games 1 at a time, and he's going to do everything he can to get 1 win if that opportunity presents itself. So if that means extending Zach Hess a little bit more and realizing that he's going to be down for the rest of the weekend, I wouldn't rule that out, just because every win is so important at this point. And honestly, when you look at this matchup on paper and you look at Arkansas' starting rotation, their bats versus what LSU's trotting out there in the starting rotation, LSU does not look favored in any of these games. So if you got a chance to win one, you got to go do it.
Chatting LSU baseball with Hunt Palmer. You can follow him on Twitter at HuntPalmer88. And then in the fall, make sure you listen in. He'll be part of the LSU football pregame and postgame show. He has been for the last couple of years. And you can hear him on 103.7 The Game doing that. All right. I'm interested in your take on Tuesday night's midweek game. And was that different than every other midweek game? Because suddenly LSU needs it. They have to have it. And they fall flat, giving the opposite of a vote of confidence. So did that midweek game mean more than others for that reason?
Not really. I mean, for me, it was an opportunity to get a top 50 RPI win, which would have helped. That's a metric that's important, you know, come Selection Monday. But to be quite honest, LSU was looking at the Arkansas series. And when you throw Chase Costello and Will Ripple and Ry Gunner and Aaron George and Clay Moffitt, this is a little bit of hyperbole, but you'll get where I'm going. They're not really on the team. They don't pitch on the weekend. They're not going to pitch in a super regional. Those guys are not factors on this pitching staff. So the 12 runs that LSU gave up doesn't really matter to me. The one that they scored does. That's pitiful. And it's a continued trend that I did some research on for the podcast. Against left-handed pitching, this team just stinks. And when I went back and looked at what I think was seven games, maybe eight, against what I would term as upper-level SEC starting pitchers who are left-handed, LSU has seen 49 and two-thirds, so we'll call it 50 innings. They scored five runs and have 61 strikeouts. And Tech threw a lefty out there, and LSU's offense went in the deep freeze, and that was just a lethargic, poor performance all the way through the lineup, 1 through 9. So the loss, whatever, if it's 5-1, if it's 12-1, that doesn't really matter to me because the pitching, just who cares? Those guys are not going to be a factor this weekend. The offense has got to do a better job than that, and that's the concerning part of the game.
An incredible stat. Another moment or two with Hunt Palmer. How much is leadership, a lack thereof, a lack of, I don't know what you want to call it, but continued leadership from the same presence, has that been something that's plagued this team, or is it simply put, they're having issues with injuries and they're having issues with consistency at the plate?
I think it's all of it. And I feel very comfortable saying that I think Zach Hess should be in the starting rotation this weekend, because I think Mikhail Hilliard, Eric Walker, and Landon Marceau is a well below average SEC rotation. So I feel comfortable commenting on that. For me to comment on the leadership of the team and what goes on at practice and what goes on in the locker room or what goes on in the dugout, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I realize that, you know, Kramer Robertson was a great leader, and that was pretty evident. And I know that Michael Papirski was a guy who would get in people's faces, and that I know. I don't know about this club. I see a lot of emotion from Josh Smith. I see a lot of emotion from Zach Watson at times. I've seen Zach Hess get fired up, but I don't know what goes on in terms of leadership. I do know that the injuries have been brutal. LSU's not alone there. Some other teams have had injuries as well. But just the totality of the season thus far has been frustrating, really, from start to finish.
So let's paint a rosy picture, and we'll play the hypothetical game. Give me one or two factors that lead you to believe, that they are going to turn this around and that when it matters most, now they're ready to roll.
I think the offense has a chance, especially against right-handed pitching. I thought they did a nice job, obviously, late in the game on Friday, scored some runs and hit some home runs on Ole Miss. I thought that, you know, those three home runs they hit in the ninth inning were off Parker Kiraci, who's as good a closer as there is in the SEC. You'll see another good one this weekend in Matt Cronin. But that was legit. And those guys, I mean, there are some guys in this lineup that can hit. Plantis, Watson, Smith, Reed, Cabrera. We've seen Dugas swinging a little bit. So Garza's hit the ball over the fence a few times. I think the offense has got a chance. The pitching staff right now is just, I can't really get past it. It's for lack of a better term, almost a train wreck at this point.
Hey, before we let you go, I mentioned earlier you've been part of LSU and the Sports Radio Network with football. Your thoughts on the offense evolving and changing? It's like the 10th straight year we've had this topic. It feels real this time to me. How about you?
Definitely. I think that you've got a senior quarterback who understands the game, has started enough games now, and has the skill set to operate the offense and the brain to do it as well. And you've got a different mind in there in Joe Brady that has changed things. I mean, look, they're going to be out of the shotgun the vast majority of the time. They're going to get the ball out much more quickly. It's just going to look a little bit different. And I'm with you. Every year when we say, well, this is the year that they got this tight end, this is the year they really get the tight end involved, that was just hollow thinking. That was never going to happen, especially under Les. But we had the same conversation every August. This time around, I'm with you. I think that there will be some tempo. I think there will be a lot of 3 and 4 wide receiver sets. There's going to be a lot of shotgun. It will look a little bit different this year.
Hunt, it's 4:42 p.m. Central Time, and your Cubs have already won a baseball game. Some guys named Bryant and Rizzo hit homers, so this can't be a bad Thursday for you.
The Cubbies are in Fuego. I'm headed up to Busch in a few weeks to watch us kick the Cardinals' tails for a couple of games, so I'll be sure to keep you posted on that.
Hey, blaze a trail for me. I'll be there in late June watching them play, unfortunately, the Marlins. Thank you, Hunt.
All right, Ben, be good.
That's awesome. He's going to catch Cubs cards from Busch. My wife and I are heading in that direction. I've got a family reunion that's not far from St. Louis, so yeah, of course. We're going to watch a game at a place that I still call New Busch. Why? Because the only Cardinals games I've been to as a fan were at, you know, Old Busch. Pretty sure that was more than 16 or 17 years ago at this point. So it'll be my first time in said stadium. I'm pretty yoked about it. Now, I have seen Cubs cards at Wrigley. Not only did I see it, I was there on a bachelor party weekend, so a large time was had by all. Aramis Ramirez walked off my Cardinals in the 10th inning that day from Wrigley. So, Hunt, love talking sports with you. Hate your Cubs. We got to take our final break of the hour. We're coming right back in. Got some time for your calls. 706-0111. We can go back in on the sink or swim question of the day. Do you have the Rockets winning two straight now that KD is out? This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. Bouncing right back to the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
Show.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now at
103.7 The Game.
Welcome back in. Baseball milestone to share with you. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we're live from the Taproom River Ranch on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love hanging out here, doing my best to stay dry. You want to do the same, come out and join us while you can, or you can give the famous Clint D a call, be a part of the program over the air. 706-0111. Always a hell of a thing when you're doing a live radio show, using your phone, and all of a sudden an emergency alert comes across. Let me share it with you. Flash flood warning in this area until 7:15 p.m. So the weather, a bit frightful outside. It's the reason that they have halted play at McMurray Park in Sulphur. So semifinals for, look, the select, the non-select, everybody. Locally, I know that Bro Bridge, St. Thomas More, you could say adjacent, Barb and Sam Houston, all affected by the weather today. But they're not playing any more baseball games, as I announced earlier. Lafayette Parish has already declared that public schools will be closed tomorrow. I've seen a message on social media where St. Thomas More has said that it will close its doors tomorrow, Friday, May the 10th. So tough out there right now. Make sure you're driving very slowly. Even better, don't drive at all. Come join us at the Tap Room or just get your tickets home, get somewhere safe, and make sure that you stay that way. All right, before the emergency alert, I had a different type of alert that hit my phone. Albert Pujols today became the third man ever to record 2,000 RBIs in a career. I fancy myself as a baseball fan. I'm definitely not a historian, and I wouldn't claim to be, but I know some stuff I would not even remotely have guessed who the other two were. CD, this blew me away. But today, Pujols in the third inning of an Angels game against the Detroit Tigers. Albert launched a solo homer, and it was his 2,000th career RBI. Here are the other two that have notched that feat. Currently in second, or he was second before today, but he remains such. Alex Rodriguez, 2,086 RBI. And Hank Aaron, 2,297, is the all-time RBI leader. Wow. Didn't exactly see that coming. And so we'll get back to Albert Pujols. Clint, I see that you're texting me as well. I'll let you just feed the information to the people.
Yeah, Ben, you're bringing up some of the schools that are closed. Along with St. Thomas More, Turling's announced it earlier today as well that they're going to be canceling school tomorrow.
There you go. Keep them coming as you get them. We'll make sure to get the word to YP, you people out there in soggy listener land. But let's get back to Albert Pujols. Again, you want to call in? We got time. 06-0111. Pujols has certainly had a legendary career. As a St. Louis Cardinals fan, I needed some Boudreaux's butt paste when he left. I wasn't happy about that. Didn't necessarily blame him. Felt like maybe chasing some greener pastures, right? This young upstart, some guy named Mike Trout, wanted to play with that team. Wanted to play for Mike Socia. I didn't love it when he left St. Louis. But what I can tell you is this. The same way that Shaq was probably cheated out of at least one MVP award by Steve Nash is the same way that I feel that Albert Pujols was cheated from at least one NL MVP award by a guy that amongst my friends, I guess I'll bring it public now, I have nicknamed as the fraud, and that is Ryan Howard. I'm sorry. I don't love the guys that murder the counting stats, but don't fill up the Mike Trout sheet when it comes to modern baseball metrics. The biggest one, of course, you can always boil it down to war, wins above replacement. When it comes to fielding, when it comes to not striking out, you know, once every third or fourth plate appearance, those are things that a guy like Ryan Howard was never great at. And I know that those Phillies teams, right, that had Chase Utley and won a World Series, I know that those were very good teams and he was an integral part of the reason why. And I probably wouldn't have such a hatred for Ryan Howard if it weren't for the fact that he stole at least one MVP from my guy Albert Pujols. But for about a 6 or 7 year stretch there, I think I can make a pretty definitive statement that it was Pujols, it was Miguel Cabrera for the Tigers, and then a pretty big gap, maybe even before a guy that made more money than all of them, and Alex Rodriguez, who I know I just named as the number two RBI man of all time. But for a stretch, and Houston Astros fans know what I'm talking about. There wasn't always this AL crap. When the Astros were in the NL, and you're thinking of the same series I am, right? Circa about 2004, maybe 2005, and Pujols hit a game-ending bomb to left field that absolutely almost exploded the stadium and made it as silent as church mice. So, yeah, there was a stretch of time there where Albert Pujols was the best thing going on baseball planet Earth. So I'm happy for the man. He got the 2,000 career RBI. Again, one of only three players ever to turn the trick, and that is absolutely saying something. Now, this was a road game, too. And so credit to the fan base. It was a midday game in Detroit, so the crowd's being described as pretty sparse. The video I've seen so far confirms that, but still, shout out to heady fans at Comerica Park in Detroit for giving an ovation to Albert Pujols. Here's what Angels manager and a former Astro, Brad Ausmus, had to say. Quote, he's one of the greatest hitters ever to walk the planet, without question. For about 10 years, he was the best. He was the Mike Trout of his time. Really, it went from Pujols to Cabrera to Trout, but Albert's body of work is clearly the best, end quote. 100% transparency. If I were Clint, I would say 120% transparency. A little appreciate there. I did not see that quote when I mentioned Cabrera earlier. I just think in the same era of Pujols, of Cabrera, and then maybe to a lesser extent, somebody like Alex Rodriguez. But, wow, interesting to hear Brad Ausmus say the exact same thing. But, I think of Miggy Cabb and Albert Pujols and their primes being just about at the same time. And I don't think that Albert is in any way, shape, or form a player akin to Mike Trout. Trout is so much more, as the modern peeps would say, toolsy. Another note that I'll make here, credit to themothership.com for this. RBIs became an official stat in 1920. Prior to that, this article speculates, and who am I to disagree, pretty likely that Babe Ruth, Cap Anson, also would have found the 2,000 RBI mark, but their exact totals are disputed to be in that room with Buster Olney and Tim Kirkjian, right? So, there you go. And the other side note to this, a fan at Comerica kept the ball. So here I was praising their fan base as a whole for giving Albert the standing O. At least one fan out there probably needs to give that baseball back. That one might need to go to Cooperstown. And the Tigers announced that the ball can't be authenticated because of this by Major League Baseball. Pujols kind of laughed it off after the game. Told reporters he wasn't upset. Here's the exact quote. He can keep it. It's a great memory for him. I mean, we play this game for the fans, and it's a piece of history that he's going to have for the rest of his life. So there you have it. Albert Pujols makes history. A fan gets to potentially cash in quite literally, and everybody feels like it's water under the bridge. So much water on this Thursday, May the 9th. And so much more to get to in hour number two. But CD, let's close out hour number one with one final word.
What's up, Katie Anna? I'm Gabe Broussard from Strange Theories and Season 11 of The Boys. It's almost 5 o'clock. Now it's time for the final word of the hour, and it's presented to you by me and my family at the Village Station. We are your final stop to fill up your stomach and your tank when you're heading home on Maurice Avenue. Now, here's Ben. His voice is pretty nice, but I don't think he could ever make two chairs turn.
Missed. And there was an opportunity missed last night by the Houston Rockets. It's part of the reason I'm not sure it's a slam dunk that they're about to win two straight. Even though KD is out for the Warriors, Durant injured that calf with enough time in that game, certainly for James Harden, for Chris Paul, for Eric Gordon, to shoot their way into an all-important Game 5 victory. Imagine if the Rockets would have won that last night. They had their chance. They could have basically chopped one leg out from underneath the Warriors in this series. They failed to do so. Again, that's part of the reason I'm not sure they're going to over the next two games. So an opportunity missed last night for H-Town by the Bay. That's the final word of this hour. It's brought to you by the Village Station. We're coming right back. Jeff Horchek scheduled from 5 until 5:30. Don't go anywhere. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game, and we're live at the Tap Room River Ranch.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Standing by.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB, Karen Crow, Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah!
And now let's get started.
We are off and running. Hour two of two underway on a wet Thursday, May 9 edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports on 1037 The Game. The good news, right now, I'm pretty darn dry. Ben Love live from the Tap Room River Ranch. Come join me if you get a chance. The famous Clint D. on the other side, just a few miles away, inside the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. Jeff Horchek will complete our three-man weave momentarily. He and, I believe, his dog Trooper, en route to the tap room while we're waiting. Oh, trust me, there's plenty of news to share. And for the 5 o'clock crowd, just getting off work or school, trickling in, let me share with you the latest, all caused by the weather. No more baseball today. And maybe even past that. In fact, if I had to bet, I would, that we've seen the last of the LHSAA baseball state championships for a while. How long? I don't know. What we do know is this. One game that was in progress in the third inning, Tioga versus Benton, a Class 4A state semifinal. They eventually just had to leave that one right where it was. Hey, we'll resume it at some point. That left seven games that were yet to start today, all postponed past today. I'll run down that list again, and I'll do it quickly. Starting with the local teams, Brobridge versus Lakeshore, a 4A semi, didn't get started today. STM versus St. Charles, a Division II semi that was scheduled for 7 p.m. It will not be played today. Quick side note there, whenever it will be played, Danny Jones, Coach Steven Stroney, are expected to be on the call on our sister station, Mustang 107.1. Do yourself a favor. Go ahead and download that free app right now, because whenever the Cougars play St. Charles, and then should they advance to the state championship game, you'll be able to listen to it and stream it free on the Mustang 107.1 mobile app. So no Brobridge Lakeshore today. No STM St. Charles today. The other games that were scheduled, U-High Parkview Division II, Catholic Baton Rouge versus Rummel Division I, West Monroe versus Barb, a 5A semi, St. Paul's versus Brother Martin, a Division I semi, and finally, slated for 8 p.m. tonight, the nightcap, Parkway versus Sam Houston, a 5A state semifinal. None of those games will take flight today. The official release in the LHSAA noted the fact that the National Weather Service projects 90% chance of heavy rain tomorrow, up to 4 inches with lightning. And that's prompted sandbag stations all around the city of Sulphur. The LHSA will release a statement on the future of said tournament before 7 p.m. tonight. On a more local level, outside of the world of sports, and again, if this is bad news for you, don't shoot the messenger, but you do need to know this. Lafayette Parish has already announced all public schools will be closed tomorrow. That we can tell on social media. St. Thomas More, Turnlinks Catholic have followed suit on the private side. I'm sure others will as well. Again, I just haven't seen anything above and beyond that to date on the social media front. A couple of other bits of news I could share with you. And we'll start with NFL football. The Pats are reportedly signing tight end Ben Watson to a one-year deal. Watson, 38 years old, played with the Saints last season, announced his retirement, and kind of like Jason Witten, he's back. And he's also Gronk replacement right now for Bill Belichick. So no financial details released just yet, but the Pats filling their tight end void, you would have to presume, on the cheap. Saints, they're fine. They got Jared Cook out of Oakland in the offseason. And they also drafted Alize Mack out of Notre Dame. Another interesting note from the world of the NFL, the Seattle Seahawks at about 3:30 this afternoon announced that they have released, due to failed physicals, wide receiver Doug Baldwin and safety Cam Chancellor. I rattled off a list of names that we all know, I mean household names in the NFL, that were with the Seahawks on their two straight Super Bowl runs, winning one, losing the other. Guys that were with the team then and in some sense, and now they're not. I mean, it's almost a complete overhaul in Seattle. It's just Pete Carroll coaching, Russell Wilson at the quarterback slot. But how about this? No more Max Unger, for that matter. No more Jimmy Graham, the guy he was traded for. He ain't even there anymore. No more Beast Mode. No more Richard Sherman. Earl Thomas. Basically the whole LOB Legion of Boom. They're all gone. And add to the list today, Baldwin and Chancellor. Subsequent reports have this as maybe the final nail in the coffin for Baldwin's career. They're saying it's pretty likely that he retires at this point. Cam Chancellor, one of the hardest hitting safeties, maybe since Sean Taylor. Not sure that he'll have to hang it up just yet. Another bit of news that I could tease for you. It'll come back around like a boomerang during Throwing Shade in a half hour. The Jacksonville Jaguars' leading tackler from last season, Telvin Smith, posted on Instagram he will not play in 2019, and it doesn't seem to be at all injury-related. Again, I want to save at least one bullet for 5:30, so we'll get back to that. We let off hour number one, and I'll bring it back for our 5 p.m. crowd now with some news on the Raging Cajuns front. First, basketball. We told you yesterday Justin Miller is transferring out. Miller spent a couple of years in the program from the state of Kentucky. He's looking for his next opportunity, and I think some of the news of today informs why. Jeff Goodman of the stadium reporting that the Cajuns have signed Dow Dow Guy. And yeah, if you're with the 4 o'clock hour, my pronunciation there is better now than it was then. But Dow Dow Guy, a 6'9 forward from Daytona State College, reportedly going to sign with the Cajuns. UL and the compliance department hasn't yet allowed that to go through publicly at this point. But I think this also makes it pretty abundantly clear that Brock Morris is going to become an assistant coach for Bob Marlin and the Cajuns, replacing Kevin Johnson, who not long ago left for Tulane. And if you need a professional course in filibustering, well, I just gave it to you as best I could. Joining me now, live from the Taproom River Ranch, it's the one and only Jeff Horchek. Passepartout at middays on KLFY TV 10. Jeff, you surviving the elements out there, bro?
I am. Sorry, I was running a few minutes behind the weather. It's a nasty night for sure.
Something that you announced on social media, so I think we can do it on the show now. You told me a couple of weeks back that you're going to be making a move up to Monroe. I'd love for you to tell our listeners a little bit about what's in store for you and the heck of a run that you've had in the Hub City.
Yeah, thanks, Ben. I've been here 12 years living in Lafayette. It's the longest I've ever lived anywhere in my life. I moved around a lot as a kid, and then in the TV world, you tend to bounce at times, kind of like a Rolling Stone. So been here 12 years, but got my contract was coming close to ending here, and I got an opportunity to go up to Monroe. KNOE's hired me as their new evening anchor, 6 and 10. So I'm going to be moving up there June 3rd. My last day at KLFY is going to be the 31st. So about three and a half, a little over 3 weeks left here. And it's kind of bittersweet because I love this area. Lafayette, like I said, has been great to me. The people of Acadiana have been very welcoming as they are, you know, and it's just been a great fit for me. And you know, had a lot of great opportunities since I've been at KLFY in the sports business and then moving and transitioning to news and moving to Pawspot too, which has been a great move for me. It was a bit of a challenge right out of the gate because it's such an adjustment with the sleep schedule and then just the fact you're going from sports to news. But it was a good move for me, and now I'm in a position where I'm going to get a chance to be an evening anchor. So, you know, the business is crazy, as you know, but been very blessed. Like I said, I'm not moving too far. I'm only going to be about 3 hours north, so I can still get back occasionally if I want to come back for a festival on the weekend. But I made the decision to do this, and I think it's going to be good for me. It puts me in a good position for the latter part of my career and gives me more opportunities. But like I said, it's been an amazing ride for me. It really has. I have loved living here.
Here's the hardest question, Jeff, I probably have asked you in 2 or 3 months we've been doing this. If you had to pinpoint 2 or 3 highlights that this job, this opportunity at KLFY have enabled you to experience, I would imagine such as covering the Super Bowl, what would you point to?
Yeah, well, I think the highlight as far as sports was the Super Bowl. When the Saints beat the Colts in Miami, that was just an amazing week. I mean, George Faust and yours truly were there for a week and then leading up to the game. And I don't know if I've ever been through a week where – there was so much excitement and energy and focus put into that that when we got back, I was so exhausted because of the emotions that I went through that week because I never thought I'd get a chance to see the Saints win the Super Bowl in my lifetime, nonetheless be there and cover it. But that was amazing. Still hard to get chills when I watch videos and see pictures. You know, and from the news aspect, I mean, obviously it was a change. But that was for sure maybe the highlight of my career as far as enjoyment, you know, because that was just such a special moment for the Houdat Nation, for the whole state of Louisiana, because I didn't know if we'd ever see it in our lifetime, and I'm sure you probably wondered as well, but we got to see it. May never happen again, but I was there. You know, I got the picture to show it.
May never happen again. May happen in like 9.5 months.
I hope I'm wrong, but yeah, you just never know. I knew the significance of it at the time. I thought, you know what? May happen again, may not, but even if it happens again, we were there for the first, you know?
That's right.
And it was special. So, yeah, it's just, I've been very blessed, you know? I may not be the most talented guy, but I always have felt, I've always had a chip on my shoulder, Ben, you know, in this business. I've always felt like if I can outwork everybody else, then maybe I'll have a shot. And, you know, I just keep going where the Lord leads me. I don't know how long I'm going to be in this career because you just never know, but as long as the opportunities are there and I feel like I'm able to get something out of it and provide a service for people, I'll just try to do the best I can, man. But the relationships that I've developed over the years here are really what have made it special, because everything in life's about relationships. That's really what it comes down to, you know?
Well, doors open for you for a reason, because you work hard and you are talented, Jeff. So I want you to know that, and I want you to know we're talking some sports. Quick break, right. Then we're going to come right back in and hold court. Jeff Horchek for at least the next 3-plus weeks with KLFY TV 10. And part of the award-winning Pawspot 2 in the mornings. We'll be right back out to the Taproom River Ranch. Rhythms on the River canceled this week due to the weather. No worry. Eric Gotro laying down sound here 8 until 11 and a good crowd brewing here 5:15. We'll be right back in with Jeff. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Let's go, people.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Get in on the conversation.
Call on the game hotline.
706-0111.
706-0111.
All right, let me add to a total, and then we'll get to some NBA talk with Jeff Horchek. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, live from the Taproom River Ranch on 103.7 The Game. I am Ben Love, joined by Jeff Horchek of Pawspot 2 and Middays on KLFY TV 10. And here's what I can tell you. Already we've learned that Lafayette Parish Public Schools will be closed tomorrow. Told you we've seen St. Thomas More, Turlings Catholic, Dispatch information that they're going to close down tomorrow as well. And the latest bit of information from the Diocese of Lafayette, this would be the Catholic schools in Lafayette Parish and Acadia Parish will be closed tomorrow. So just making sure we feed you the information as we can. All right, Jeff. Earlier, Clint and I chopped it up with Kevin Durant out for the remainder of the Western Conference semis. The Warriors are up 3-2 on the Rockets, but we're wondering, can they hold them off? It's a mild calf strain, by the way, for Durant. Clint said, no way. The Rockets are winning two straight. I said, come on. This team has won multiple world championships. They did it without Durant, and I just saw a stat. The bottom ticker on the mothership sometimes has the goods. They informed me that the Warriors are 26-1 when Durant doesn't play and Curry does since KD came over. So what do you make out of the rest of this highly anticipated series?
Well, I tell you what, you don't want to lose Kevin Durant for sure. He's quite the talent, and they lean a lot on him. But I still think Golden State will find a way to win this series, you know, because obviously they need Durant for the stretch run, so they're not going to want to push him back too quickly, make sure they have him for later down the road. But I think Golden State's still going to win because I just think they're a deeper team, and like you said, they've been there before and done it. Listen, they've been in game sevens before. They've been this is not a big deal. They didn't expect to sweep the Rockets. I don't think if you asked for the series, we're going to go in and sweep Houston, they would have said yeah. So, hey, Houston's got a lot of talent, too. But I think they'll win. It'll be tight, but they'll win.
So you're like me. You think that's what's going to happen. What do you want to happen? Because I think a lot of folks are waiting for the Warriors to get their comeuppance.
Yeah. I'll be honest with you. I'm not a big Rockets fan. I'm not. I respect Harden. I respect Chris Paul. You know, he's been a great player in this league. But I'm not a huge Rockets fan. I'm not a huge Warriors fan either. But – you know, I respect what they've done. So I don't know. I think Golden State will win. It's going to go the length, but they're going to win and move on, and we'll see. You know the team that I like? I like the Bucks.
They might be the best team that's in these playoffs. And for people to say they don't have a star, that's ridiculous. The Greek Freak is probably going to be the MVP of this season. Tell me a little more why you like the Bucks.
You know, I like the Bucks because they're still considered a small market NBA team. It's been a while since they've had a real contender, and I like the Greek Freak. Seems like a class act, down low-key guy. You know, his story is pretty amazing, coming from where he did to become the player he is now. And it seems like the city's embraced the Greek Freak. He's embraced the city. They got something special going on there, and you don't know how long they're going to keep it together, but right now they are clicking. I like the Bucks. I'd love to see them win the whole thing, to be honest with you. I think it'd be great.
If I were giving my superlatives as far as right now, in the moment, I would say that Kawhi Leonard is playing like the best player on the planet for Toronto. I would say that Kevin Durant has been the best offensive player. I would say that the Bucks are playing as the best team overall. I don't think there's any question about that. So I like what you bring to the table there. I think they'll beat whoever advances. And tonight, Kawhi and the Raptors have a chance to beat Philly and get there to the Eastern Conference Finals. I think Milwaukee beats either.
Yeah, I do too. I just think, you know, it looks like one of those seasons with the Bucks, like you see in sports where it just seems like your season, things seem to be falling in line for you. You know, he had that injury not too long ago, and everybody was worried about that going into the playoffs, but seems like he's shaking it off, and he's a man on a mission. He seems very tunnel vision focused. They've got good players around him, guys that know their roles, and they've had some guys step up, you know, at good times, right times. So like you said, this time of the year, it's about the team. I mean, everybody has stars once you get in the playoffs, but it's about the complete team, the bench, and guys just filling their roles. And also, you know, the stars have to step up and carry their load as well because, as we know, the NBA is star-driven. But they just seem like they have it going right now, and I hope they can keep it going because I really think it'd be a breath of fresh air to see the Milwaukee Bucks win the NBA championship. They got a new stadium it's being built, so they're really behind this team. And I'm just hoping that the Greek Freak stays in Milwaukee. You know, he doesn't jet for one of these big markets. I like it when stars stay and there's some stability, and I just like what they got going right now. I like Fear the Deer, hashtag Fear the Deer. I just like it, and you know the Greek Freak plays with he's aggressive, man. He's got that fire. When he goes to the basket, he goes with like a man, and he finishes strong. He just has that almost that childhood exuberance to me. He hasn't been tampered with yet by the powers that be. You know, he just seems like he's an untampered guy. Maybe that's because he's from Greece. And he's not been totally influenced by the LeBron factor and all that. He just seems like he's just playing basketball for his city and his team. I like that.
I'm so infatuated with the point you just made and how you made it, because you mentioned LeBron. All reports are the Greek Freak turned down being in Space Jam 2 with LeBron. So quite literally, he's not captivated by the whole LeBron thing and things that LBJ's interested in.
No.
Look, it's not to say LeBron's not a great competitor, but yeah. There's another reason other than competition that he went to L.A.
Yeah.
The guy wants to make movies and be an executive producer of TV shows.
Right. Well, there's all these rumors now about should the Lakers trade LeBron now. All of a sudden, trade him? Are you kidding me? He was supposed to be the guy who was going to take him to the promised land again. So it's a mess. Coaches don't want to go there. I mean, Monty Williams is going to Phoenix, and Tyronn Lue is like, maybe back. I mean, they have issues, like major issues, because now everybody's smelling the stench over there and going, you know what? This is not the place to be. This is not the golden road to the NBA title. So it's going to be interesting to see how that organization handles this, because now nobody wants to have anything to do with them. And it's the Bucks are just rolling along. Everybody, I just like what the Bucks have going. And I don't know how long they're going to be able to keep it together, but I tell you what, they're a breath of fresh air considering what you see around the NBA,
You're listening to Bumper Sports. We are live from the Taproom River Ranch. Another few moments with Jeff Horchek of KLFY TV 10. And you're wearing an Astros hat, so that gives me a nice place to go as we finish up the segment. Astros have won 4 out of 5. They start a 3-game set at home against the Texas Rangers. Does this feel like a team currently at 22-15, leading the division, that can get back to and win the World Series this season?
Well, we'll see. They got Wade Miley getting the start tonight, former Southeastern Lion, LaRonger Wolf. He's been an acquisition. We'll see. It's still very early in the season, but, they can keep everything balanced, keep the hitting going with the pitching, and stay healthy. That's always a big thing. We will see. I think Houston's still got a lot of juice left in them. They got a lot of young talent, and they seem to be hungry again. So we'll see. I want to get to Houston to catch a game this year. I haven't been since pre-World Series, so I'm just curious to see how it is to go to a game at the Juice Box now that we have a team that want to. Have you been since the World Series?
Several times over.
How is it?
You know what's going to get in your way of doing that?
What's that?
Moving.
I know. The timing's not good. I should have gone before now. I waited kind of late. But I would like to get over there because I haven't been, like I said, since they've become a champ. And I know it's different now.
Had the good fortune of doing my show from Minute Maid last year. We'll do that again this year. In fact, I think I'm announcing it right now on the show, Friday, May 24th. Okay. We'll be live from Minute Maid. So it's a great experience, man.
Yeah.
I mean, that ballpark is fantastic with the way they're playing. I went to a Sunday night game.
Nice.
Against the Angels, who weren't even that good last year, the place was just absolutely rocking,
Yeah, they love their baseball in Houston, always have, and now that they've become a World Series champion, you got a little resume behind them now, and they've got a lot of young talent. They really do, guys that they can build around for a while, so hopefully they'll be able to get back in the mix this year and get a run. It'd be nice to see a former Southeastern Lion get a ring.
There you go. Jeff, we appreciate the time. Got about 30 seconds left. What's going on tomorrow morning? Pospot 2, TV 10.
Yeah, it looks like the lead story, unless something crazy happens tonight, will be the weather. We've got some severe weather coming in. They're supposed to get a lot of rain in Acadiana, maybe possibly as much as 7 inches in Eunice, depending on where the storm hits exactly and stays. So hopefully everybody will stay safe out there and we won't have any issues with flooding. And then just we'll have the regular news going into the weekend. It's festival season now. I got a lot of festivals going. We got the Rain Frog Festival out in Rain. That's big for them this weekend. So they're hoping that the weather holds up for that. And just so much news going on, Ben. It never stops, man. It's a continual flow. So hopefully we'll have some good news, not some bad news.
Well put. We got to hit a break. When we return, going to give you an update on LSU Florida softball style in the SEC tournament. Plus, we're throwing shade, and we got a lot of ammunition on a Thursday. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports coming right back to the Taproom River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
Winners eat nachos at a ball game and snag a foul ball barehanded without getting a drop of cheese on their shirt. Winners ride home with Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Here we go, back in with more softball updates to lead off the segment, and then we're getting to the shade, like we would miss out on that. Bumper to Bumper Sports, right back to the Taproom River Ranch on 103.7 The Game. All right, bad news before good news in this case. Beth Tarina and LSU softball lost 3-0 today to Florida. That game ended within the last 20 minutes. The Gators have advanced to the third round. Tarina and LSU have bowed out in the second round. Next step for them will be the regionals. Will they host? Will they be on the road? We'll find out sooner than later. But LSU is out of the SEC tournament. Now to the good news. The Raging Cajuns have advanced from the second round. And they looks like they came from behind. They had a three-run frame in the bottom of the fourth. And 4-3 was the final. Excuse me, just getting through it now. UL over Texas State in the second round of the Sun Belt Tournament. So congrats go out to Jerry Glasgow and the Cajun softball outfit. They've advanced to the third round, and, well, they've got just about everybody on the All-Sun Belt Conference team, including Coach Glasgow as the coach of the year in the conference. So the most talented team in the conference has advanced to the third round, and that is good news. More updates as we have them. Now it's time for your daily reminder. It's really a PSA locally, that no one throws shade outside your home or business like the pros at Patio Center. Go to their website, patiocenter.com. Check out the retractable shades and screens, the standing seam metal awnings, and the customized patio covers with the cypress accents. And know that you can trust in their management top down, starting with Mark, to sit down and help you carve out your niche, to get a vision formulated and then fulfill it, and they can do it before this coming football season. They're ready to up your patio game at Patio Center. All it takes to start, a trip to the website, patiocenter.com. The kings of customization, it's never one size fits all for the licensed, insured, and bonded professionals at Patio Center.
It's time for Throwing Shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Nobody throws shade outside your home or business like Patio Center. Visit the website at patiocenter.com.
We got two today. We'll start with the funnier of the two. Lakers fans are planning a series of protests. This is not a drill, and this is not a joke. But in the aftermath of the Lakers failing to get anyone with a pulse who seemingly wants their head coaching job, the fans have had enough, and they're planning protests, according to Reddit. That's how you know it's true, right? But the protests will be outside of Staples Center, and the objective, to voice their displeasure with the front office that really couldn't reel in Ty Lue, despite the fact that he wanted the job, that he's the only one other than, you know, Eric Spoelstra and the crew down in Miami. He's the only one that's been able to wrangle in LeBron James and win a championship at kind of a non-Super Friends type of environment. Yes. LeBron, Ty Lue, the Cavs, they cleaned up the David Blatt mess and won a title in 2016. They played for a couple more. Ty Lue is a good coach. Not telling you he's a great coach, but he would be great for the Lakers in this bleep storm that they find themselves in. And yet, they reached an impasse in their negotiations. Lue reportedly withdrawing his name because they won't let him pick his own assistants. Lakers fans are ready to storm the castle. They'll be at the gates if Reddit has anything to say about it. Lakers fans are planning a protest. Let's hope this one has a few more bodies than the LSU one when Will Wade was blocked from coaching in the SEC tournament. Now, to complete the twofer, this one's not as hilarious because I think we all could enjoy laughing at the Lakers, right? This one's not as funny, but man, the modern era, these are weird times. Jacksonville Jaguars leading tackler Telvin Smith posted on Insta earlier today that he will not play in 2019. He gave a full description of why, and it has nothing to do with injuries. I'm going to give you some of the exact verbiage. Smith, in his statement released on Instagram, said that he must take time away from the game and get my world in order. He went on to say that he needs this time, and he needs to give this time back to myself, my family, and my health. He went on to conclude that, you know, he appreciates all the support that he, quote-unquote, will and will not get. And that leads us to his employer. They didn't know because he didn't go to them. He wanted to make sure that the free world knew before the Jags knew. So understand this right off the bat. Your necessary 2019 don't fire me precursor. I'm not going to necessarily fault the player as I don't know what he's going through. I don't know what's going on with him, his family. I'm not going to pull out the leap to conclusions, Matt, and take a jump. Not going to do that. So this shade isn't necessarily being thrown at Telvin Smith for the conclusion that he has reached. But to not go to his employer first, yep, I take some exception to that. And it might also inform the lack of a bond that Telvin Smith, perhaps other Jaguars players, feel with management slash ownership. Don't forget, they were ready to cut loose former LSU Tiger Leonard Fournette all that long ago, or at least that's what you could kind of read between the lines and gather. So something in Jacksonville stinks, and it ain't going well. Nick Foles, all the best to you, brother, now that you've gotten down there and are ready to take the reins to a completely wild series of horses that don't seem to be pulling in the same direction. But when your leading tackler posts on Instagram that he's out and he doesn't tell you that, I'll begin this part due of throwing shade. I'll end it, I should say, as I began it. The modern era, these are weird times.
We're done throwing shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. For now, you want your life made in the shade? Visit PatioCenter.com and explore ways to improve life outside your home or business.
I'm just not sure. I mean, is the prevailing thought that it's better to make sure that the free world knows what you're doing and make sure the free world knows that you're good before your employer? Does that somehow give you more street cred? I just don't even sort of understand that. So the Jags absolutely caught off guard as their leading tackler, one of their best defenders, along with Jalen Ramsey, says, I'm just not going to play next year. Not hurt or anything. I'm just not going to do it. I'm sure they'll deal with the financial ramifications of that later, and he'll probably willingly forego the money based on the fact that he needs this time with his family. But, man, it's the priorities that absolutely have me shaking my head at this point. We're going to take our final break in the program today. A reminder, as we head into break, Rhythms on the River has been canceled. That's okay. There's a lot of folks here. You can hear them in the background at the tap room for one simple reason. They're bringing the music here from 8 until 11 tonight. Eric Gautreau, live local music, and it's free. Come out, start your weekend early. Remember, there's not school tomorrow. For a whole lot of people, maybe that benefits you. Come celebrate, if you can, with us at the Tap Room River Ranch. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. Ben and Clint taking you home, and we'll be right back in on 103.7 The Game.
Gridiron debates never go out of style on Bumper to Bumper Sports.
Well, I had never thought of it that way.
But feel free to be right anytime you're ready to start on 103.7 The Game.
Some things really just have perfect symmetry. The show started, and we had just gotten the news. Hey, they're done playing baseball today. All right, the show's about to end. Wouldn't you know it, I've got breaking news on when the baseball will resume. All things go full circle. Bumper to Bumper Sports, that's our show. And we're back to the Taproom River Ranch on 103.7 The Game. All right, I'll spit it out. Here's the news. From the LHSAA just moments ago, due to severe weather conditions in Sulphur and surrounding areas, the baseball state tournament will resume Sunday, May the 12th. No more baseball tonight, Friday, or Saturday. Games that were started today will be resumed from the point of suspension of the game. Now, I've got the full schedule of how they're going to sort all this out beginning on Sunday. So bear with me. You're going to get every single game that's on this list here from the LHSAA. The first game that's going to be played Sunday, and Clint, let me correct myself. I was under the impression there was one game that was in progress. They're going to have to resume three games that began today. So at 10 a.m., and understand they're using several different fields to get all these games in. At 10 a.m. on Sunday, Grand Lake versus Kentwood Class 1A semi is going to be resumed. At 10:30, Sterlington versus Berwick is going to be resumed. My apologies to Berwick. Didn't include them in the local bunch earlier. That's a 3A semi. Sterlington versus Berwick will resume Sunday at 10:30 a.m. Sunday at 11 a.m., Tioga versus Benton will resume a Class 4A semifinal. From there, every single one of these games I'm about to feed you will start anew because they never began today. At high noon, Oberlin versus Maryville, a Class 1A semi. At 12:30, South Beauregard versus Iowa, a Class 3 semi. At 1 p.m., Lakeshore versus Brobridge, a Class 4A semi. So the Brobridge Tigers are rescheduled to Sunday at 1 p.m. against Lakeshore. I'll keep it going. Again, now it's chronological. At 3 p.m., U-High versus Parkview, a Division II state semi. At 3:30, Catholic of Baton Rouge versus Rummel, a Division I state semifinal. At 4 p.m., Barb versus West Monroe, a 5A semi. And here's another big game of local interest. At 6 p.m. on Sunday, St. Thomas More versus St. Charles. That's your other Division II state semifinal. I don't have this confirmed, but I would be willing to bet a lot of money that we're going to relocate the broadcast of that on Mustang 107.1. I was told before today's show that was the plan, at least. So if you're able to attend, great, in Sulphur. If you can't, Sunday, expected first pitch of 6 p.m., I do believe we'll have the call of Danny Jones and Coach Steven Stroney, St. Thomas More versus St. Charles. Again, Sunday, 6 p.m. is the new scheduled first pitch for Cougars baseball. At 6:30 p.m., St. Paul's versus Brother Martin, a Division I state semi. At 7 p.m., Parkway versus Sam Houston, a Class 5A state semi-final. So there you have it. And actually, there's even more than that, so excuse me. Just so much news, because there were a number of classifications, mainly at the lower levels. There were a number of classifications that already got their state semifinals in. And so we have 6. We have 6 baseball finals that have been relocated. And this involves some local flair, too. I'm glad we're getting around to this. At 11:30 on Monday, May the 13th, you'll have the Class C final, Summerfield versus Simpson. High noon on Monday, Runnels versus Northside Christian, your Division 5 finale. Monday at 2:30 p.m., Opelousas Catholic versus Wachita Christian, the Division 4 state final. At 3 p.m. on Monday, your rescheduled Division 3 state final. The one and only Blue Gators of Ascension Episcopal taking on Calvary Baptist from the Shreveport area. At 5:30 Monday, Pitkin versus Converse is your Class B final. And at 6 p.m. Monday, Kinder versus Doyle, the Class 2A final. There you have it. As many updates as we can sprinkle into one segment. For the love of all that's holy, let's break this up with a phone call. Our first of the show, for that matter, out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. T, LSU Baseball, they're going to play in less than an hour in Fayetteville. What you got on the Tigers?
Hey, Ben. First of all, congrats to Jeff. I've always been a fan of his, and I know he's going to do just well up there. And about LSU Baseball, I have the feeling that they feel the same way as LSU basketball did when Ben Simmons was there. They can't wait for this season to be over. That's my feeling, buddy. Enjoy your show, man. Love you.
You know, T, you know I appreciate your call. And the sigh you heard from me there is because, boy, I hope that's not the case. And I'll just come out and flat out say it. I know there are reasons why. And you notice I didn't say excuses. Because Paul Maneri and Tony Robichaud would be the last men to offer excuses. So I'm sure as hell not going to make them for them. But let's just tell it like it is. LSU baseball looking like they're going to slump into the 2 seed at somebody else's regional and they're just kind of haphazard. I mean, T touched on the fact that they look like they're not motivated. LSU baseball going that route and UL baseball potentially not even making the freaking Sunbelt Conference tournament. Let's just be honest, the Cajuns and the Tigers didn't hold up their end of the bargain in 2019 on the diamond. Not even close. Not even freaking close. And so what was expected to be a national championship caliber season for LSU, a hopeful return to the top of the Sun Belt for UL. Not exactly. Just a bit outside with those predictions. That's how I'll leave that. And I'm not making insinuations that there needs to be a change with Maneri or with Robichaud. They're tenured, and especially with Robichaud, the man has helped to put this program on the plateau that it has reached. But you'll notice the last word I said is past tense, reached. Got to get back there. And with LSU, to a certain extent, I know they just lost the national final 2 years ago, but they got to get back there. And so I don't agree with heat on Mineri or Robichaud now. But next year, if this continues, maybe we should have a different conversation. I'm just not willing to have it yet. But, T, that's an interesting way that we wind down the program today, right? This idea that LSU doesn't seem like they're interested, we're going to find out real soon here. Mikhail Hilliard going up against maybe the best offense in the SEC. We'll see how that goes. So, again, you've been with us for 2 hours. It's been about a lot of weather updates. I'm going to do my best once more to give you the latest on local teams and their path through an updated schedule at the LHSAA State Baseball Tournament. Again, this is just going to be the local teams. Berwick versus Sterlington will resume play. They started today. They're going to resume play at 10:30 on Sunday. Brobridge and Lakeshore are going to start play Sunday at 1 p.m. St. Thomas More and St. Charles will begin play Sunday at 6 p.m. We'll move to games that are already solidified, right? So these are games that are going to be finals. They're relocated to Monday, May the 13th. Northside Christian will take on Runnels at noon. Again, that's Monday. Opelousas Catholic will take on Wachita Christian at 2:30 in the Division IV state final. And finally, Ascension Episcopal will play Calvary Baptist, the Division III state final. That's Monday at 3 p.m. So there you have it. Just about nobody will have school in session tomorrow. We've given you all those updates, and now you know exactly when your favorite baseball teams will play for their state semis or state finals in Sulphur. Stay safe out there with the weather. Not looking like it's going to be very rosy tomorrow, so do your best to stay off the roads as you can and make sure that you're safe and able to listen to us tomorrow from Rufino's on the River. For today, I want to thank Hunt Palmer, Jeff Horchek, everybody who called, everybody who listened, everybody who braved the elements to make us a part of your day. Thank you for doing that. For the famous Clint D., I'm Ben Love. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. We're about to touch a party off at the Taproom River Ranch. LSU baseball coming up next at Arkansas on 103.7 The Game.